It's All Songs Considered from NPR Music. I'm Robin Hilton. Imagine an evening where you just sit around with your closest friends or family and all you do is play music for each other. No TV or video games, no texting, just a bunch of songs and some great conversations about what you love or don't love and why. It's kind of a fantasy, a nice idea that almost never really happens. But for the past few years, Bob Boylan and I have hosted listening parties that get pretty close to this fantasy. We fill a club or auditorium with music lovers. We have a panel of two or three guests on stage, some friends, some colleagues, maybe a musician or two, and we play songs. Everyone in the room, on stage and off, has a stack of cards numbered 1 through 10. And as we listen, everyone rates the music. A 1 means you pretty much hate the song, and a 10 means you're over the moon in love with it. And then we talk about the songs. It gets pretty heated sometimes. What you're about to hear is a listening party Bob Boylan and I recently hosted in Washington, D.C. Bob is at the podium, I'm in the audience, and we've got three guests on the panel: NPR Music's Stephen Thompson, Katie Alice Greer, who sings for the band Priests, and Emily White, who runs the artist management company White Smith Entertainment. All of them brought songs to share with the audience, but we started with a cut from Bob, a song many of you have probably heard before.
Are we ready?
Yes.
Here we go, first one.
And one is low and 10 is high.
Yes.
One is very, very low.
Can everybody hear?
So tired trying to see from behind the red in my eyes. No better version of me I could pretend to be tonight. So deep in this will with the most familiar.
We like dramatic
smile.
Voting. Everybody hold them up at once when I say so.
Okay, you know it's been like 20 seconds, right?
No numbers yet. No numbers yet. Numbers up.
Okay.
Felt, cause God, I never felt young. She's gonna
look around you. Pay the music.
Baby, from her head to my head.
Seems like a really varied score already.
Wow. Does anyone know who it is? Who knows who it is? Where's Emily White?
There's only one 10 in the entire room that I saw.
Kill the music.
A few ones. Let's go to a 10.
Yes, we'll start there.
Well,
and you know who it is.
Well, yeah, I knew who the artist was, and I do really love this song. I've probably listened to it like 50 times in the past couple of weeks. So.
And why?
Have we said
what
who it is?
What do you love about it?
The artist is Hozier, Irish singer, R&B. The song was is called Jackie and Wilson. It's a song about it's a song about having children and naming them Jackie and Wilson and raising them on rhythm and blues was the song.
I saw a one back here. I'm going to go to the one. Hi, don't be shy.
You guys want to?
Just not into modern bluesy sounding stuff.
Not into modern bluesy sounding stuff.
Just kind of like bam, 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 bam. It just kind of going through the motions.
Yeah. So it hit you over the head. Hit you over the head.
For someone who makes music like you to say it hits you over the head is hysterical, really.
Anybody else who really loved it? Anyone who loved it?
Wow.
Really? Anyone who really just could not take it?
We want to hear from you.
All right, one more.
It's just kind of jockey.
That's what.
You mean like dude rock or whatever?
It's not my thing.
Steven?
Sorry.
Emily wanted to say something.
Yeah, Emily.
It didn't change my life, but I'm not going to lie. I was instantly swayed by Emily White's 10 because she has such great taste.
Great. Let's play another song. Of the people who are holding up ones, who know? If you know what it is and you're holding up a one, leave your one up. Interesting. Okay.
I saw all the ones and I instantly knew this was Steven's pick.
I actually want to interrogate everybody who held up between like a 4 and an 8. Because all I saw for the longest time were ones and tens. And
well,
Katie and I were the only
fair,
ones holding up the
tens. There was one ten. One ten. One ten right here.
Well, there are two up in the panel.
There
so
are two on the panel.
Two. Well, we had two up here.
Steve, why don't you say what this is? And
this is Aphex Swift.
Why do you
Swift.
Like this? Yeah.
What's that, Bob?
I said, and why do you like it?
And why do I like it? Well, first of all, just to explain it, this is David Reese, who did Get Your War On. He's brilliant. And he created a mashup of a bunch of Taylor Swift songs with a bunch of Aphex Twin songs. And I tend to like Taylor Swift most in mashup form.
Interesting.
If you've ever heard the mashup of Taylor Swift with Screaming Goats.
It's a Trouble.
Yeah,
remix,
it's,
right?
Like,
right.
It's like, it's
right.
It's the same song. Yeah, and instead of Trouble, it goes. I highly, highly recommend it.
Hit up the music. Just if you wanted to. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Hold up those tens.
I'm enjoying.
I see where this audience is going.
I'm liking the people who are pumping their 10.
Yeah. You're playing this game the right way if you're doing that.
What do you think, Katie? You had a 10 right away.
I'm an unabashed Taylor Swift fan, especially the record Red. So when I found out about Aphex Swift, I was totally on board already. If you don't love Taylor Swift, I don't know if we can be friends or like have a conversation. Really, I just—it's like you might as well live on another planet. Yeah, totally.
Anyone feel differently?
At all? No, they've been shamed into silence.
Come on, one, speak up.
Who was the one who didn't know what it was? You didn't know what it was. All right.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be this tough rock musician, and I actually really like the original chorus, and I feel like that neutralized the drop on the original
okay.
chorus.
Okay, that's fair. So, I can respect that.
So it kind of pulled it away, and I didn't really like the sound.
Anybody else? Good, let's do another.
Ghost!
The ghost could work here, don't you think? I think we had like about a 7 average here. What do we got on the panel? Yeah, so the panel is about the same. There's a two right up front here. Let's go right to the twos.
Okay, two.
Okay, I mean, it sounded, you know, I'm hard of hearing, and it sounded like, who has gas? Who has gas? I'm like, I'm sorry, you know, I couldn't make it out. Who has gas? I'm like, who mows grass? I couldn't make it out.
Do lyrics matter to you more than anything else?
I don't know, but but you know, I was ready to crack up because it sounded like they were asking who mows grass or who has gas, and and it was just this thumping thing with.
This is actually increasing the song in my estimation.
Yeah. So, totally. I was, thinking the same thing. Now,
yeah. She's actually saying girls. She's girls saying girls, are. But she has a Japanese accent, so it comes out girls.
Lovers of the song.
Oh, come on now. Now you know that she was saying girls. Now it's like, well, I take my 10 back.
Oh, who is that?
Forget it.
We got it all the way in the back.
Someone held up two 10s. Oh, dude.
And we haven't even said who it is, did we?
I didn't mean to do the double 10. That was forced on me. But I give out my 10s easy. But
come on, bro.
It was. I liked that it was atonal. And I liked that it was super groovy and it was fat. And it was something that I'll have to listen to probably a few more times for my head to wrap around it. And I like something that takes time for me to be able to totally understand it. Instead of that first time where it's just like, okay, and then that's everything. So, yeah.
That was Deerhoof. I don't think we said who that
Deerhoof.
Was. Any Deerhoof fans? Yeah. New record.
Paradise Girls was the song, and La Isla Bonita, sorry, was the record. I think everything he said, plus, you know, that could have had a...
That was Robin's pick, by the way, so that's why he's going to keep going on about this for a little while.
It was...
and he's got a microphone.
That song could... let me speak! you know, it could have had a... Boom-ch, da-boom-boom-ch, boom-ch, but it didn't. That drummer kills on that song. He just tears that song apart. And that to me, if you've got a great drummer like that anchoring it and driving it, you can get away with anything. And
bring it in a little bit.
Yeah.
Bring it just a little
bit. A live, real human being drummer behind the kit, by the way. And anyway, I love this. I do love that it's atonal. I love everything about it. It's just such a great groove. And I don't care what she's saying. It's just super, super catchy. So, you know, I just like a, yeah!
Gas.
What's happening? Yeah, exactly.
There was
cowbell.
A lot of cowbell. Here we go. Next one.
I'm tired of this stupid town. I'm tired of the way it's always looking down. There really ain't no reason I should stick around. She says just leave it. I'm going alone, I'll find myself on my own. I'm gonna do what I can while I'm still breathing. I'm gonna go, go find my place and rip it out from a town that don't care. Yeah, take it back. She looks up and she says, try not to lose yourself.
Show yourself one.
What's the problem?
I thought the beat was very generic EDM beat. I mean, you basically heard that beat in every other EDM song. So, yeah.
Hey, really? You're sitting next to the person who created it.
Conversation time. So this
it's
is fine.
It's fine. It's fine. We'll wait. We'll wait. Take your time. Take your time.
Fox Stevenson.
But
I will say, Bob said go to her.
Right, quite
but
a, quite
we'll take that man's email address.
So what were you thinking? I don't mean, what
what were you thinking? I mean, so.
And I wouldn't have outed him, but that was too perfect.
Yeah, yeah. And Emily picked it.
Okay. What? You laid down that beat.
Well, let's introduce yourself. The record's under the name of.
I don't really know what to say. I mean, music is subjective.
Of course it is.
That's the best. Here, just a second.
All right. I want to say something really quick about not just this song, but about this artist who I just heard for the first time the other day. And one of the things that I think is great, having
heard
a little more
Stevenson?
Of his music, yes, yeah. is that it's a mix. It's not, if you listen to the lyrics and listen to the music, it's the kind of mix that you don't often hear, which some of the other songs that I've heard are relationship songs married to this kind of beat, which is uncommon and something that I gravitate to, where you have two different things mixing into one, two unexpected things
like
mixing
Taylor
into one
Swift
song.
And Aphex Twin.
No, anecdote. But it's true. It's true. There's I'm hearing we're hearing dance beats are starting to cross into all kinds of different genres that I never heard dance beats in before. So
I want to do something here, and this is I'm going to play a song that's going to seem completely unrelated. The song by Fox Stevenson is called "Out There," but this goes to what is your name, Fox, or is just the name of the project Fox Stevenson?
Oh, my real name.
I mean, if I want to refer to you, how would I say hi?
You call me Fox or Stan.
Okay.
Or Stan, it's up to you. Yeah, okay, call me Fox. Why not?
So,
Mr. Fox.
And
Mr.
Fox, and the person next to you is
Danielle, and I'm in a band, so you can talk shit about my music too. Yeah.
Oh my God! Did you hear Danielle's band?
Oh my God!
And Danielle, so you want to tell everybody your band, right? Of course.
I'm the bass player in Shark Wheat.
Yeah.
We're based in DC.
Right.
Your band's good. I'd like to hear a mashup of that.
But I want to do something here because when that'd be pretty funny. So when you said music is subjective, I'm gonna play this. And then we're going to have a conversation that Robin and I have been having, along with this producer, John Congleton, recently. And anyway, I'm going to play this. You're going to rate it. You're going to know right away what it is. Here it comes. Can you hold up the card?
I may not always love you, but long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you.
Okay, as I wipe the tear from my eye, Robin Hilton's going to raise up the card that he would say if he were going to do this.
You're just trying to be different.
Don't stand in front of me when people are pelting you with things.
How many people put up a 10 because they thought they should put up a 10?
No.
Beautiful song.
I mean, I would totally do that, but not in
so,
this case.
So here's the deal. Is that, hold on one second. When we did an interview the other day with John Congleton, who's a producer of lots of records that we mostly love, the Angel Olsen record, the St. Vincent record, the list is pretty long. He said to me when we, what did we play? We played,
I can't remember what we played, but he basically said that when he doesn't like something, he assumes it's his fault.
That it's a failing on him not to understand what the artist is trying to relay. And I thought it was a very beautiful way. It's not a cop-out. It's a very beautiful way of thinking about what art is. And, you know, this goes to the two of you in particular. It's like you make, you make this music that is, you make because you love doing it. You absolutely love doing it. You can't probably do anything else but to make this music that you love. Now, Danielle fails to understand this record music, but that's okay, right? I mean, you've got to, as an artist, you've got to understand that that's okay, that you can't read, right?
I'll just say I have my two biggest failings in life.
They're two.
They're not. These are not the only.
Hang on one. A minute.
One.
I've got a.
I don't like baseball. Worst and all. I know I should love baseball, but I can't get into baseball. I don't. I mean, baseball is like awesome, right? But I don't like baseball. And the other one is the Beach Boys. It's like, I know I should love the Beach Boys. I should. I've tried and tried and tried.
I
and
have
I just
14 years of trying to get him to
so run. It's on me. It's totally on me. I know it's my problem.
Does there's anyone else have a failing? What? Let's. No, I mean musical
hi,
failings.
Hi, my name is Rob.
We'll keep
like
it to music.
I don't like the Beach Boys. All right, well, this is an easy walk.
I just can't get into Led Zeppelin.
Oh. That's not a failing. It's fine.
Oh, no, that's a failing. Keep going. Just walk down the aisle.
Right,
failings.
Else? Who else? Right,
failings.
Right. Who said Bob Dylan?
This is confession time, folks.
Yeah, you asked. I'm just not down. I can do a good impression.
There's 45 years of that music. Is it every single year of that music is gone? It's nothing.
I haven't even delved into his entire catalog because the stuff that I've heard that is more ubiquitous really does not toot my horn.
Yeah, good.
Basically any and all EDM.
All EDM.
Right, good.
Wow.
This is cleansing.
Great.
Keep going. This is cleansing. Keep going.
Over here, yeah.
I don't like The Clash, which is really terrible, because I gave an honor to their manager last night at our awards show.
Oh, so
is that
sorry.
Peter?
Anybody else? Anybody over here?
Let's start yelling them out. I want to just shout out your shout them out.
Who said Pink Floyd?
Pink Floyd.
All right, it's on.
Oh, you again.
Arcade Fire, here. Steven. You got a...
What's mine?
Yeah.
I mean, I was going to have this whole soulful riff about...
Okay. Do it.
No, I mean, I was just going to say, like...
I asked Steven what his failing
one
was.
One more.
He's got more to... Okay.
Hip-hop heads might not like me for saying this, but Tupac is overrated.
Whoa. Whoa.
This was a bad decision. This was a very, very bad decision. This is.
I like that you.
Okay.
I enjoy the.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah. I enjoy the fact that when you said that about Tupac, you kind of did this, like, come at me.
You want to do your.
No, I was just going to say, like sometimes these blind spots happen, or these failings, or whatever you want to call them. They happen at certain times of your life, and then later on, you suddenly grow into an appreciation. I used to completely not understand Tom Waits. And my reaction to Tom Waits was like, what? It sounded cartoonish. And then life just crushed me over and over again. And I finally
came... I'll vouch for that, by the way.
And I finally came to appreciate these songs of the gutter because life had dragged me there.
Well, Stephen, you've picked one to play tonight that I'll call my failing, and it goes something like this.
It's my 25th high school reunion.
This song hurts so much. Thank you. Oh, I hate this song. But I'm playing it.
Lots of tens.
Is there anyone on my side? All right, you can fade this down. I'm
go back here. So you see how you're wrong, right?
I see how it's my failing.
It's your failing.
It's my fault, my failing.
Someone here might agree with you. We'll try this.
Yeah, that song doesn't really go anywhere.
Oh.
It's just kind of there.
Doesn't go anywhere. Anybody else? Anyone with a 10? Anyone with a 10 want to defend it?
That song is a classic, and it's beautiful, and I love it. And I think it's a 10. Tears for Fears, that's a 10.
Can we talk to the one over
can I do something really rude? I'm going to ask how old you are. And I want to know how you came to the song, though. That's all.
I listened to the 80s. I went through a phase for 5 years where I just loved it, and I researched it, and I listened to every band I could. And
I love
Tears for Fears, and it's in a Corey's movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, that phase lasted 10 years from 1980 to 1989.
One more.
Yeah, that's one of the best songs of all time, I definitely have to say. It's Tears for Fears, very uneven band, I would say to Bob. I don't understand why you can't like that.
I think for me it's just how I grew up and where I grew up and what the music was that came all before that those years that were from 1976 to 1981 that were so intense and so in your face and so unexpected, and you had bands like Wire and things like that making music that you never heard before. And this felt, oh my God, no. And then and then you had groups like the Pet Shop Boys, and you had music that felt kind of vapid compared to what had come before. You felt that there was this sense of production that happened, much more studio-based music than people getting together and hashing it out amongst one another's.
But at
what's
the
same that? Paul Hotcastle.
Yeah, no, Bob's not going to know this.
Okay.
People are now naming songs from the 80s.
Yeah. I loved Echo on the Bunnymen's first record. But anyway, point being that's the reason I can't find it and find my way into it, because I just felt it felt so completely manufactured and produced.
So context has a lot to do with music.
Yeah.
But And for me, I'm coming at it from a different time, a point of like rediscovering something that was made when I was born, you know? But like that song, it's just so perfectly crafted. The lyrics are meaningful, you know? It has good lyrics. It has this incredible arrangement that just like weaves in and out. Like you look at the arrangement of that song and it's just like, it's crazy. There's all these parts keep coming up. And then there's a new part that you didn't totally expect. And then there's like one guitar solo played by one guy. And then another guy coming in with a crazy guitar solo.
So would you and Lindsay, Cliff Usher's from Gems. Gems is going to play after this is done. You want to do a cover of this?
Maybe.
Maybe.
You've got 20 minutes.
All right, here we go.
I assume this was Bob's because he and I were just talking about this record yesterday.
No way!
Yeah.
Wow, what a coincidence.
Actually, that's we just so talked cool. about it on the show.
So, do you want me to just talk about
Bjork,
who it is?
Tell people who it is.
So it's Bjork, and typically someone who you either, like, you love her or you hate her. It's, like, very particular sounding music. Lover, great. I often find, we were talking about failings earlier, one of my failings is I'm more biased towards music made by women. That's just what I typically like. So
that's pride, that's not failing.
Well, that's why I was having a hard time like raising my hand during that, because I was like, I don't know if that's a failing,
no.
That I don't relate to
male
music as much.
Failing is like when an English person says they don't like the Beatles.
I guess I'm phrasing this as a more positive thing, but the failing would be that I don't relate to music made by men as much, which again, I don't always see as a failing. But I just think that Bjork is like a super interesting artist. Like all of her records are, even if I'm not a fan of all of them, I find them really fascinating, musically and lyrically. She's iconic.
Now for the other side of the story.
We'll go to Chicago.
Pow! Choo! Oh. It was very dark and ominous to me, like very depressing, and I couldn't understand what she was saying at all. Like I could, she was not clear. Except for the tears part. So I was like, dang, she wants to die. Okay.
My story? I give it a 10. I mean, Bjork is incredible. I was speaking with some younger friends of mine recently who had never heard of Bjork before. And I was trying to say, how have you never heard? You have to listen. And I tried to show some YouTube clips. And for some reason, it wasn't coming across. It's one of these artists you have to sit with and spend time with. And there's so much to it and so much complexity. And
totally.
Incredible.
I think it's a matter of having a trained ear. So like there's a lot of us that are fortunate enough to like have training in music and understand the different chord progressions and the changes and what goes on in Bjork's music. But I think that if you don't get that, it kind of might go over your head for a common layman's. This is just music is subjective.
It's the voice that's going to turn.
Hold on.
No, they don't know what they're
Who wants to speak?
Hold on.
Just to be perfectly fair, I am dumb as a post and I love Bjork.
Yeah, I don't have any, I appreciate that, but I don't have any musical training. And what I like about her is that I said earlier, I love Taylor Swift. I'm a huge fan of pop music, like super accessible junk food music. And I feel like she inhabits this dimension where things, it can be as deep and multidimensional and layered as you want it to be, or a lot of her stuff you can appreciate on the surface in some, or maybe not, maybe it's dark, but someone in the front said she's from Iceland. I mean, what do you expect? It's gonna be dark.
Oh, I was just gonna make a comment about the song.
You're holding a number 2.
Basically, I didn't like the bass line and I don't like her voice. So yeah. It's hard for me to really get into that,
yeah.
You know? So I think it's a decent composition, but I just couldn't connect with it.
That's what it is for whoever mentioned Dylan earlier. I think just so many people can't get past his voice, you know? You need an entry point. And if you can't get over that, you're probably not gonna make it. One more, last one.
Yeah, I feel like her sound is coming back around. I don't know when her last record release was, but she sounds like Banks and Lana Del Rey and FKA Twigs. So, and I like all of those songs.
Or vice versa, right?
Yeah. Like.
That's, I'm sorry, excuse me. That Vespertine record's almost 15 years old,
right.
By the way. What we just heard.
Let's do this. Something that's both new and old. Here we go.
Where this song is going, so let's just. I'm kidding.
The gentleman with two cards, is that a 28 or you're divided between 2 and 8? Or are you voting on behalf of someone else?
Yeah. Robin, there's a fellow there with a 2 card and an 8 card.
28 is high.
Go find each other.
Yeah. I know, right?
Covering the Beatles is a bold move, though, so.
Thank you.
Yeah, a definite split decision on this. It's an 8. Because I'm a huge Beatles fan.
Oh, I see.
But it's not one of my favorite Beatles songs. It's a 2 because I thought the production was horrible.
So that's the Flaming Lips.
Yeah, and I love the Flaming Lips, but I think that production of that song just kills the song.
They just covered all of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
And it's funny how
you want to hear Miley?
you find out more context about music and it changes your, because I was thinking like, well, it's pretty bold to cover a Beatles song, but then I found out it was the Flaming Lips and I just don't like Wayne Coyne at all, so now my vote is
so that would be a failing.
Yes, exactly.
What was that?
Exhibit A.
I just said that would be a failing.
One of my failings.
I see.
Which again, I just don't think it's a failing.
I mean,
not like
the songwriting is so brilliant that it could be country mashed with whatever and I would still love it.
Yeah.
But the Beatles are my favorite band.
Oh, I don't know. If it feels like a desecration of something, I'm not saying this is, but something that is taking a composition I love and making it something I don't will actually make me like 10 times madder. This doesn't do that. I'm mixed on this record, but.
I gave it a 6. I mean, for me, it's like taking a photograph of a really beautiful painting. Like, that doesn't really mean that it's artistic. I mean, that's one of my favorite songs ever, and it's an interesting take on it, and it kind of brings out some of the characteristics of it that you wouldn't really maybe notice about that song, but it's just not that amazing to me, I guess.
The only in defense, and I haven't spent a lot of time with this record, but the only thing I could say about that is, to me, it's like not taking a photograph of a painting, because then it would sound really, to me, what that means is it sounds really like the original. In this case, like taking a photograph of a painting, leaving it out in the sun for a year, then taking green paint, and then, you know, putting it in the oven. And then, I mean, they do so much to this song that changes it. How many people didn't know what the song was? Let's start there. No, it's fine. It's important, right? So it's Fixing a Hole. It's from Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band by the Beatles. And the Flaming Lips have just covered that entire record. And there's, you know, there's interesting stuff on it.
The original is pretty bouncy compared to that. This was one of my picks, and I played another cut from this record on All Songs recently. And
Here goes.
Lucy in the
Sky. Just a tiny bit of it.
This is Miley Cyrus.
Cyrus. The world we live in is so weird. Somebody calls
you answer quite slowly. All right, we get the idea.
I kind of like it.
But people like this more so, for the most part.
Oh, come on. If I hadn't told you it was Miley Cyrus.
We had a lot of tens up there. Look at this.
Okay. You know, my take on this, there's a zero back there, by the way. My take on it was that, you know, we tend to take this whole music thing, people who are big music lovers, like I assume everyone in this room is, we tend to take it a little too seriously sometimes. And, you know, I think The Dark Side of the Moon is just the greatest album of all time, and there have been so many covers of it, and every time, there was a dub cover of it, and I just...
The Dub Side of the Moon.
Dub Side of the Moon, I was like, it was a knife in my chest. You know. I have synced it to Wizard of Oz many times. But you know what? The truth is, you know, I don't know that it does us any good to consider these sacred works of art that can't be touched. You know, musicians just love music and they love playing. You know, Beck did spend a whole year or 2 years or however long he was doing just covering songs with friends. And if you watched any of the videos that he put up online or listened to any of the songs, it was so obvious that they loved the music, respected the music, respected the artists who made the music, and they were just having fun and loving it. And that's sort of what I hear with the Flaming Lips. Nothing can replace the original. It's just nice to hear someone playing around.
I would have been curious to see the reaction if people didn't know it was Miley Cyrus. I think people would have dug it. I'm not going to lie, it's a little bit of a turnoff for me that it's Miley Cyrus, but if it helped, because she sucks. It's just, you know. Yes, relax. I have listened to her before. And
don't get me started on Fleetwood Mac.
Let me continue.
You love or hate?
I hate Fleetwood Mac.
If it helps turn on a new generation to the Beatles and to Fleetwood Mac, I think that's awesome.
My score was an 8 on that, and I think initially when I heard that one juxtaposed with the last one, I could associate with it from that like that guitar part immediately. You know what it is, you know what to expect, and it didn't destroy it. The fact that it was Miley Cyrus, I was kind of like, okay, but she didn't. It didn't affect me too much. The last one, the Flaming Lips one, I felt like I had to be on a fucking acid trip, you know, to. Yeah, and I felt like the Miley one, you know, it was a different rendition, but at the same time, you could still associate with it and appreciate it in a modern light.
All right, I'm gonna play something else. Here we go. If I had a dollar for every buck I paid. I think the subtlety of, sorry, I hit the wrong button. The subtlety of the lyrics in that song get lost to the diddle-io part, right? But I really like this. It's a group called Immigrant Union who are an Australian band who have an amazing sound. That's not indicative of the sound they have. But I was really curious because that song grabbed me well, especially that whole, it's a whole dark side to this song with very, very bright, poppy, country-esque, though they're not American, American country sound to them. That's all.
Who's the band?
They're Australians. They're from Melbourne.
Who's the band?
Immigrant Union. They've done a song with Courtney Barnett, who is a dear, makes dearly great music to me.
Did you want to?
Anybody?
This was the fastest one I saw go up.
Sure. Initially, to me, it sounded like a bad Tom Petty car commercial.
Whoa.
Oh, that's really terrible. Car, yeah.
Well, that's really good, though. That's really good.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
All right, here we go. What did you give it?
I did give it a 1. Honestly, like, it sounds like the kind of band that would be a lot more fun live.
Yeah.
They just really didn't capture the energy I was looking for in the recording.
Yeah, someday we'll play some. I won't play any more from them, but they really were good songwriters, and they're nothing like that on the record. But I'm going to play the thing that I really wanted to play.
We got a 10 on this.
Sleeplessly embracing butterflies and needles line my seamed up join in case I need it. In my stomach, on my heart, chainmail, hunger of the pine. Hunger of the pine. Embracing your young tint to me, planting more days in the sea, and so you finally use it. Bedding with me, you see at night, your heart wears night armor, hunger of the pine. Thank you.
I always tell Bob songs because they go on the longest.
Right?
things in life that you can do when you can do them.
I haven't spent much time back here, but I saw some tens. Who had a ten that would want to say something about? Here we go.
The reason I gave it a 10 is because probably just me, but I like a woman who doesn't have like the most perfect voice to sing, but do know how to like use it in her own way.
Do you know who the singer is?
No, actually I don't.
It's Miley Cyrus.
See, no. Okay. Now the thing is about Miley Cyrus, when I've heard her other records, besides the ones that she be having on the radio, I always say to myself, I'm like, she is a very good vocalist. Yeah. But the way that she puts herself out there is just not the good thing. It's just not great.
So the story here, this is the band is Alt-J, for those who know Alt-J. And one of the members of Alt-J was working with her on a remix and brought a sample of her voice to their Alt-J's music. So that's how that came to be. But you've been nodding here and thinking here. We got a 10 right up here. Robin needs the exercise. Right? I mean,
hey, my back! The way it started off, I like songs like that because it takes a minute for the beat to actually drop. So I'm sitting over here debating. I'm like, maybe it's a 7, could be an 8. When the beat dropped, it was an instant 10. I was jamming the whole time.
That was a beautiful moment.
And when Miley works with good producers, they know what to do with her. Like, they know where to put her at. They know how her voice can work. I don't know, man. Like, I wish she would work with people who actually like to hear her do good music more often than the trash she does sometimes. It's just, you know. But she gets a 10 from me for that one. That was beast.
You know, the version of We Can't Stop on the Jimmy Fallon show with the toys and stuff is one of my favorite songs of last year. I probably listened to it 100 times.
Wow.
Complete dead silence.
I'm going to look that up. Oh, that sounds cool. Oh my God, I think that's one thing, like, I don't love Miley Cyrus at this point, but I also, like, recognize that she's, what, like, 21 years old? I mean, she's, like, pretty young. So, you know, I'm hoping that she'll grow as an artist, as we all grow as human beings.
One more, Bob. One more.
Well, I just want to say that Miley's cover of Jolene is fantastic and will change your mind if you haven't seen it.
Great. I'm going to play here, something else.
Springtime Carnivore, and it's unreleased and produced by Richard Swift.
Oh, I didn't know that. I saw them Saturday afternoon at a place called Pianos this weekend in New York. And then I saw that you picked this, so it was kind of nice. I didn't know that.
One more time on the band name.
And Springtime Carnivore.
I actually held up a 2 and an 8.
Like carnivore.
And the 2 was if Bob picked it. the 8 was if anybody else did. So 8.
I think I only saw 1-1 back here.
So the there's a immediately and it's kind of a recurring theme where they go la, la, right? That to me.
Can you do that again?
Yeah.
It's like a whole car talk trick.
I imagine that like how I would make that sound in my head, and I imagine myself like making the motion of vomiting.
Aww.
Like that's what I imagine.
I can't undo
how
that.
To make that sound.
But doesn't that make you want to actually rate it higher? Because if music is having that visceral of an effect on you, like That's kind of big.
Well, I mean, yes, that's a plus, but the actual effect that is visceral is not.
Right. No, that's true. That's true. Sometimes I think it's like if a song would make me want to rate it a one, I'm almost like more impressed, you know, because most stuff I'm just kind of like, that's fine. That's cool that exists.
And that goes back to what John Congleton was saying, was that the stuff he liked to produce was the stuff that immediately he didn't find completely engaging. Well, he'd say, I don't understand this music, and he'd want to understand it, and he'd want to spend time with it. And that's the stuff he, in the end, wanted more to produce than anything else, which is kind of nice.
Also, there's no bad vomit, as long as they're vomiting. Good, right? I mean, that's it.
What do you think? Should we do some more?
I like that it went, there's no, no bad vomit. Good night, everybody.
I'm going to do this. Oh, right. It's got a little funny beginning. We already got 2 tens.
That's where I
live. That is awesome.
Yeah, I'll give that a 10.
That's identity. Look at this.
That's my home base.
It's the L train at Bedford Avenue. But anyway, here comes the music, folks. Cards up, everybody. Time to make a decision on this one. I'm taking your picture and remember this one forever. First, the lens cap comes off. All right.
Anything lower than a 6 and you need to get to an emergency room.
Yeah, let me see all the lower than 6s. Hold them up. Come on, be honest here.
Oh, wow.
Robin, here's a 3 up front with the bow tie.
I thought I saw some 1 or 2. No, nobody.
I had to subtract a point when I heard a drum solo.
I missed that. I'm sorry.
Had to subtract a point when he heard a drum solo. Why?
It just seemed indulgent.
Okay, I'm going to tell you something because we know each other. I'm going to tell this guy something.
I want to tell you a story.
Next time Moon Hooch comes to town, you and I are going. And you're going to look at this drummer. His eyes are like, it's the cartoon where the eyeballs are coming out of the head when he's playing. They are insane. They're one of the best live shows
I've ever seen. Watching this band live.
Yeah.
That was my reaction watching this band live. I saw them play on 6th Street in Austin. We were.
The name is Moon Hooch is the band. Song's number 9. That doesn't matter.
So they set up shop on 6th Street, you know, hugely crowded street, and people would be walking by completely unawares, and all of a sudden they'd just be strolling along. Excuse me. They'd be strolling along, and all of a sudden they would hear the music and just sort of. They had no idea, like 10 seconds earlier, that they were about to be dancing.
That's true. And when we went to the we saw them in Austin.
Steve and Robin and I, we went to all together. Yeah, they're amazing.
What's happening?
The cool thing about this band is that they're all studied jazz musicians. Well, that's not the cool part of it. The cool part of this band is that what they do is they take a lot of improv. They make a lot of their music using electronics, right? And then they take that electronics and then they try to play it on their saxophones. Then they find a beat and a pulse. They put the pulse in their ears, just a beat, right? An electronic, just a click
track.
Basically a click track. And they're all playing to a click, which you would think would suck the soul out of music. But what it does, it makes these incredible, they can make these incredible turns in timing all together, always, while they're doing improvisation on top of it. And it's really an amazing thing to see. Moonhooch is the band. Highly recommend. Yeah. The track's called Number 9. They have two albums out. Any one is as good as any other, but I like the first record a little better.
They played the Tiny Desk. It's worth looking up.
The Tiny Desk concert. They took a cone from one of those street cones and put it on the end of the saxophone.
An orange hazard cone that they stuffed into the saxophone.
They used to play at the Bedford Avenue stop, and they got kind of told that, please don't do that anymore. how about this? Sorry. This came on randomly for me the other day.
In hard time, Mississippi, surrounded by for war that ain't so pretty. His parents give him love and affection to keep him strong, moving in the right direction, living just enough for the city.
As a panel, this was the first unanimous 10 for us, so.
So who in the room, and it's okay, but who in the room doesn't know the song?
Security will now escort you out of the room.
There was a 4 back
then. These people be open about
their... I'm kidding.
So of those of you who didn't know the song, can you hold up the numbers that you had?
10.
I'm just curious.
10.
It's still...
8.
Robin and I, a couple of summers ago, tried to do a project, and it was trying to find the songs, the albums we could all agree on.
The question, we just sit around, so many of the shows just come out of just conversation, sitting around talking, just as music lovers, we thought, I wonder if it's possible to make a top 10 list that everyone can agree on. Top 10 list that everyone can agree on.
Look at the head shaking. No. Well, that's why it took us 9 months to do it.
We spent months and months with putting polls up and concluded after months and months of research that no, you cannot come up with a top 10 list.
Yeah,
but you can come really close. You can come really close. It was in the upper 90% range of people who agreed on these 10 records. I think Intervisions might have been one of the ones that was on there.
Is there anybody who gave this under a 7?
I saw a 4 back there.
It's really fine. Let's see it. We saw the 4. Let's see the 4.
He was all for it.
He was all for it. Oh, man. That's awesome. Yeah. Anyway.
Anybody want to say anything about the song at all? I will come to you.
Dick Huey.
Okay, here we go.
Living for the City is the song.
How'd you know, Emily? That's the first 10 I gave out. And I listen to all of the other kind of music that you play all the time.
Yeah.
But that song, I don't dance, and that song makes me dance.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome.
There it is.
Can anyone else think of a song that they think would be a song that everybody must agree is
Imagine?
Just the best?
Imagine.
Wait a minute. I hear Surrender. I hear Imagine. I hear
Thriller.
Yeah.
I Want to Hold Your Hand, Earth, Wind, and Fire. What sights on a song?
Bust a Move.
Yesterday?
Bust a Move. Don't just sit
guys. What
there.
About the Macarena?
Do you guys know that? Do you know?
Wow. Now I can't tell if you're kidding or not.
No, I'm just kidding. I was totally kidding.
Who let the dog out?
Otis Redding was on that list. I remember he made the top 10 list that everyone could agree on. I wish I could remember who else is on. Simon and Garfunkel might have been on that list. Everyone could agree on.
Well, it was hard to get 21st century music on the list, oddly, right?
People are still undecided.
It was really hard.
I could see that.
The 60s was, I remember we broke it down by decade, too, and the 60s were overwhelmingly the most
satisfaction
popular.
This is a very
divisive, you know, 15, 14 years, I think.
Yeah, but they're diverse.
Right. Your name is Jeannie.
I'm on WBAI.
So Jeannie's saying that there was a time that radio was...
A lot more diverse on the
airwaves. But a lot more diverse on a single station. That's the big difference. Yeah. What you had in the times when... Intervision's the 70s. What you had in the 60s and somewhat of the 70s was radio stations that played everything... From the Singing Nuns to the Rolling Stones, right? Whoever knows the Singing Nuns? Who knows the Singing Nuns besides me? Yeah, you're right. So anyway, what you had was this: you had Broadway shows, you had Frank Sinatra, and you'd have the Beatles in the very same radio station. It was, and for that was awful and it was wonderful. It was both those things at the very same time.
You were listening to a station that you loved when you threw your shoe at the radio.
I was.
Back in when you were a kid, because... Yeah.
No, it was my record player.
It was my own record player. Why did you... Okay.
It's all right. You want to know what shoe I threw? I did throw a shoe at my record player. I was listening to side one of the John Lennon Plastic Ono Band record, which was wonderful, live piece in Toronto. Side two, with Yoko, was a different story. I think I'm going to see this. I'm going to see... what I'm going to ask for on this song, let's be the last song, okay? But I'm going to play something, and I only want you to hold up a card if it's under a 7 for the beginning, and then I'll ask everybody to raise their cards. Okay. Here it is. Here we go.
It takes us 2 hours to tape a half-hour show.
Shh. Here we go. No. Under sevens. Under sevens only. Under sevens only. There we go. Whoa. There's one. Under sevens, there's another. And when the chorus comes, anyone who would give a 7 to 10, sing it. Alright? Here we go. Everybody's card up.
Best songs ever written.
Yeah. The production's incredible.
It's hard to fade this, but let's do it.
It's one of the best songs ever written, and the vocal performance is also just like so impeccable.
And get to the 4 in just a minute, but one of the things that in this conversation, which you can listen to, that Robin and I did with the producer, John Congleton, he said a couple things. One is, if you can identify a song by the first bass drum beat, it has already won. Right? That's in essence what he said. And the other thing is that, and this is what, when I think about music and what attracts me to music, is that that it is singular, that it is something about it that is unlike anything else that was ever done before, that it identifies itself, that it owns what it does. And that song, like from the very first, from that moment, it's just it. But you, who didn't know the Stevie Wonder song, but gave it a 10, I'm gonna guess didn't know this song, but gave it a 4. And your name is? And your address?
Yeah, right, I know. Everybody has Google, you know? And this is the one time everybody will come to my show, isn't it? Yeah. It's obviously a very good song, and a lot of people like it, and it speaks to a lot of people, sort of like a like a painting in an art gallery. I just don't particularly, it doesn't particularly speak to me, but I realize that it speaks.
Yeah.
And I give it a lot of credit for speaking.
Yeah.
Just,
so I guess you should have really adjusted that a little higher.
I was going to adjust it higher, and then I'm like, well, I'm being a cop-out, I'm being a wimp. So
okay, good.
So
good.
I adjusted it up.
Yeah, yeah.
But had to stick by the
foot. Well, but I like the fact that you, I mean, I think that's what it is about music for me. There's lots of music that doesn't, it doesn't speak to me, but I can say that's really amazing, or I'm glad they did that.
I don't know. When I hear music, when I hear that song and a lot of songs like it, I feel like it's the moment where we all put down our weapons, and we're like, all right,
you start fading.
Let's just all hug it out. Let's just hug it out, hey, because Kevin. You know what? Kevin. You hear that and you realize at the end of the day, life is pretty beautiful, and there's a. Good night, everybody. You've been
awesome. Thank you.
We have Gems coming up next.
Bathroom, drinks, liquid in, liquid out.